T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Manish Mehta from the Daily News. Manish, how you doing, man? How you holding up there?
I'm doing well, or as well as anyone else is doing. How about you guys?
Not bad. I mean, it's not as bad here. Are you in Jersey? I know it's bad in both Jersey and New York. Are you in Jersey or New York?
Yeah, I'm outside of New York, but obviously everything professionally for me is impacted by what's happening in and around the New York, New Jersey area.
How much more challenging is it to do your job under these circumstances?
Well, you know, I wouldn't say it's challenging. It's different. You adjust, but I think in the grand scheme of things, being a sports writer, in this time is not nearly as important as what actually matters. So, in terms of how I do my job, you know, it hasn't markedly changed.
Manish, you know, being there around the city, I'm just curious. We'll talk some sports here in a second, but is it like a ghost town everywhere? What's it like? What are the streets like? The stores and all that stuff? I'm curious.
Yeah, it's funny because I have friends who actually live in the city, and one of them equated it to being like on a deserted movie set where you've got a lot of buildings, a lot of cars parked, but not many people walking on the street. So definitely a unique time, and hopefully one that we don't have to relive after this is all over.
And let me clarify for most of our audience who are not New Yorkers, when somebody from the New York area says the city, they're talking specifically about Manhattan, not about all of New York City, because we just say the city. I don't know, you're not from there originally, are you, Manish? I can't remember.
No, I'm not. I am not from New York. I'm from Philadelphia. Not that much different in Philly, actually,
either. Yeah. Okay. Manish, there's been, Arthur Blank said with Peter King today, he thinks they're going to be able to get 16 games in. Some people are saying these things might be delayed. No, nobody really knows. We've never had this experience before. But I don't know. I don't even know if I want to ask you to guess, but if you had to guess right now, do you think the season will end up getting delayed, or it's impossible to say?
Problem. Obviously, nobody really knows, but
my
best guess would be that there would be some sort of abbreviated training camp / preseason. We are still several months out before Labor Day. Season doesn't start until after Labor Day, so if training camp in theory began in early August, I think you could still get a 17-week season in, depending obviously on course of events over the remainder of the summer. The thing that's going to get lost is going to be the OTAs and then perhaps a week or so into training camp. I don't think that's insurmountable just from a football perspective. Okay, you don't have OTAs, you don't have a mini camp, you don't have all that voluntary stuff. Once upon a time, they didn't have a lot of this stuff in the National Football League. I mean, they had an extended training camp, of course, but I think you can have an NFL season if things started getting rolling in early August. So if you just didn't have all this work in the off season, guys, worked out at home or on their own, and then showed up for training camp, let's say August 1st. August 1st is what, 4 months away, right? So, I think theoretically the things might not be drastically impacted from an NFL regular season standpoint. Again, that might mean a shortened preseason and a shortened training camp. But, if you're asking me on March 30th whether I think things can get rolling in early September for the NFL season, I would, just as a guess, I would hope that, there's a better than 50-50 shot that could happen.
Manish, how do you look at the draft and, how are the Jets going to operate this thing? I'm curious, because you're so close to them, how do they like logistically do it? I mean, do you have the GM at his house? Like, is everyone at home doing this draft? Like, how do you think it's going to play out?
Yeah, that's a great question. I actually want to find out where the draft's actually going to be, because I don't believe it'll be in a studio. You know, if you're a betting man, you probably think that it's going to be at Roger Goodell's house, you know, with him announcing the picks. Yeah. No, I look, I think that's probably the best spot, to be perfectly honest with you. I don't think that the NFL is going to go into a studio in New York with all of New York shut down. You've got the news outlets, obviously. You know, their studios are open, but, you know, they're for other, you know, for other more important things. So I wouldn't be surprised if the NFL draft was at Goodell's house at all. And in terms of where the Jets are going to be and where the other teams are going to be, it's probably going to be very similar to what we have seen, you know, during this free agency period, which is, you know, perhaps a small group of people in one area, or it's just going to be guys at their own individual spots, you know, and communicating via, you know, video chat, video conference call. You would have to believe that, for the Jets at least, that Joe Douglas, Adam Gase, Greg Williams have to be in close proximity just to, you know, have a free-flowing, you know, form of communication, and, you know, they have to adjust quickly. But again, I don't think that's specific to only the New York Jets. NFL teams across the league are going to handle things probably in a very similar way. You know, I'll be interested to see how they, meaning they, meaning the NFL teams, are impacted by what's going on right now in the run-up to the draft, because in theory, you've got a year and a half worth of research from your personnel and scouts on these guys, but, you know, general managers are typically so meticulous that they, you know, they want to bring in guys, they want to go over the final medicals in their building, they want to overanalyze, frankly, for the most part. They're not going to have that opportunity, even though they can have these video conference calls with an unlimited amount of prospects over the next month. It's still a lot different, I think, than having a guy right in front of you, you know, talking through some things, getting some guys on the board, and doing things of that nature. So I think it'll be an adjustment. But if you're a well-prepared organization, I really don't think there should be a significant difference in how you ultimately prepare for this draft compared to, you know, previous ones.
I agree with you, Manish. And I think, you know, some people have said it's a bad look that the NFL to some degree is going on with business. I disagree. I think it's giving us, without putting anybody in danger, it's giving us some relief. And I think what's a bad look is the whining GMs complaining about this because they're about a bunch of old-school dinosaurs who can't get with the times and realize that we can do everything via FaceTime or Zoom or whatever the hell it's called, and just do it that way. Now, these guys shouldn't be getting together. That would be completely irresponsible. You know, what Dustin and I were saying before is, you know what, you want to give extra 5 minutes per pick, or you want to spread out the draft over 4 days, fine, but these guys got to suck it up a little bit. There's people really out there, as you alluded to before, there's people out there really putting their lives on the line, really with tough jobs. The GM should stop whining, in my opinion.
I agree with you, and I think that, you know, the people, this is just in life, not just in the run-up to an NFL draft, but people who complain about that kind of stuff are typically the people who aren't as prepared. If you're well prepared and you're open-minded, you should be able to adjust. And this isn't some kind of radical adjustment. This is, as you said, Bull, this is kind of adjusting to 2020, where you have video conference chats. It's, you know, it's not that difficult of an adjustment. Now, what you guys had mentioned a minute ago, I think is very smart, whether it's spreading the draft out an additional day or two, or giving additional time within picks to, you know, help out teams in terms of communicating. You know, the flow of communication is a lot faster if I'm sitting right next to you versus, you know, looking at five different guys on a screen and communicating that way. So if you want to add additional time per pick, that to me is a fair and a reasonable adjustment. But, you know, whining about not being able to do it logistically, I think is ridiculous. We can have a separate conversation about whether it makes sense, you know, given all the things going on. I mean, there are plenty of businesses across this country and across the world that are still operating, even though, you know, everyone's not in the building together. The only thing I will say, and the only thing I really took umbrage with was Roger Goodell's written statement to the rest of the league, to each individual team, saying that you could be reprimanded or disciplined if you speak out against the draft continuing. Now, I don't quite understand the motive behind that. You know, if you disagree with it, you disagree with it. Maybe your points are valid, maybe they're not. But this notion of threatening somebody who's employed by an NFL team with discipline, if they speak out against it, to me, is a little childish.
Manish, let's talk about the offseason so far. How happy are Jets fans that Tom Brady's in Tampa Bay?
That's the best move of the offseason for the Jets, Dustin. You know,
right?
Strip away the dozen or so one-year contracts that Joe Douglas has doled out. And the number one takeaway for the Jets and, frankly, the Bills and the Dolphins as well, is that the best player in that division over the past two decades is no longer part of the division. It certainly bodes well for the future. I don't know how it's going to translate for the Jets in 2020 not having Tom Brady, other than the fact that, in theory, it opens up the division. But I think if you're being objective about it, the Bills are best positioned to win the AFC East, just given all the moves they made last offseason, some of the moves they've made this offseason, specifically trading for Stephon Diggs. You know, they're doing everything the right way. They're doing things the way the Seattle Seahawks, frankly, did when Russell Wilson was on his rookie contract, which was to build around the young quarterback. And look, I think the jury's still out on Josh Allen, whether he is going to be a franchise quarterback. But they have done everything properly to position themselves to be a really good football team. If the quarterback hits, I think they're set up really well for 2020 and beyond. The Dolphins, they went on, you know, they had a radical makeover in free agency, so I want to see how all those new pieces fit. And they're still missing their most important piece, which is who's going to be their franchise quarterback. I think that'll be addressed, obviously, in the draft. So I think they're doing a lot of good things for the future. The Jets, to me, are kind of in a holding pattern because they've gotten 13 free agents that they brought in. 12 of those 13 either had signed one-year deals or de facto one-year deals, which when I say that, I mean three-year contracts, which have an easy out for the team after 1 year. So for all intents and purposes, they're just one-year trial runs. So theoretically, there's a chance that Joe Douglas is going to be right back where he was right now, a year from now, if these one-year guys don't pan out. And I don't think that does any good for your young quarterback because he doesn't truly have a foundation. He's just got a bunch of guys who are on prove-it deals and, you know, may or may not be back in 2021.
We're talking with Manish Mehta from the Daily News. Manish, we've talked a lot about Trent Williams possibly being traded to the Browns. I know you've talked about it as well for the Jets. The Browns picking 10, the Jets picking 11 in the draft. And, you know, by the time the Browns pick, maybe only one of those big four offensive linemen are left. And if the Browns take them, the Jets may be out of options. I've been a little hesitant on Trent Williams' injury history, age, looking for the big contract with the Browns having a lot of young players who will need big contracts. What do you think about Trent Williams for, you know, I know you like the idea for the Jets. What do you think about for the Browns? And why do you like him for the Jets with his injury history?
I like him for both teams. For one, he's, I think, 32. So, you know, for an offensive lineman, if he stays healthy, you've really got, I think, 3 years of top-end play, if he can stay healthy. You know, he's a perennial Pro Bowl player. I think he would obviously transform the offensive line for either team. And to your point, I think the Jets are not willing to pay the freight in terms of draft capital, but more specifically probably in terms of money as well to get him. So I think the Jets are keeping their fingers crossed that the Browns actually do trade for him, because if that happens, then that increases the opportunity for one of the top four tackles to slide to 11, because the nightmare scenario in some respects for the Jets is that all four of those guys are gone in the top 10. And if that happens, the Jets, in theory, could take the Florida cornerback C.J. Henderson, the three top wide receivers, or at least two of those top three, whether it's Judy Ruggs or CeeDee Lamb, could be available. But I don't think that Joe Douglas wants to take a wide receiver in round one because that position is so deep. So in theory, early in day two, you could get a quality wide receiver. I think that Joe Douglas wants to get an offensive tackle. He wants somebody who can be a foundation piece to grow with Sam Darnold, because right now the Jets are going to have five new pieces on that offensive line, four guys coming from out of town, whether it's the draft or the three guys that they signed in free agency, a new center, a new left tackle. They brought back their left guard, but these are all new pieces in place, and there isn't one guy other than perhaps the center, Connor McGovern, who's going to be around beyond 2021 for sure. Everybody else, George Fant, he's a spot starter in Seattle, a swing tackle. Right now he's penciled in as the left tackle to protect Sam Darnold. I don't know how confident you can feel about his, you know, ability to do that. So I think that, you know, if the Jets had their druthers, you know, they would want Cleveland to trade for Trent Williams so that one of those top four guys slips to them, and then they can grab one of those guys at 11.
Manish, always good to catch up. We appreciate the time, man. Stay safe.
Thanks. You too, guys. Stay safe.
You got it. Manish Mehta.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.